Saludamos a Joel Burney, él es el gerente del Consejo de Asuntos Judíos de Australia. El atentado antisemita en Sydney deja 16 muertos. Ana, nuestras condolencias, nuestra solidaridad. ¿Y qué más nos puede contar de los responsables? ¿Qué se ha sabido de los responsables en medio de esta celebración judía del Hanukkah?
Bernie, thank you very much for your time today at W Radio, and we're sorry for what everything that has happened in Australia. Can you share with us what's the latest details that you guys have of what happened?
So thank you very much for having me. It appears as though that two shooters, two gunmen with legally acquired weapons, six guns, a father and son duo, who have obviously been radicalized as Islamist terrorists. It appears as though in the early stages that this was an ISIS-inspired attack, and they've gone to Bondi Beach, which is a very popular beach in Australia, frequented by thousands of people on a regular basis, tourists and locals. And at a Hanukkah festival, for the first night of Hanukkah, they've decided to indiscriminately fire into a crowd of Jews. It was a targeted terror attack, the worst terror attack in Australia's history, coordinated by these two lone wolf gunmen, a father and son duo. The father is a former refugee and Australian citizen from Pakistan. The son was born in Australia, and they've obviously been radicalized. And in the name of Islam, they've come out and tragically killed 15 innocent people.
Pues a ver, nos dice que pues fueron dos terroristas, dos tiradores que habían comprado estas armas de forma legal, tenían seis armas, era un dúo, padre e hijo, se habían radicalizado hacia el Islam, terroristas, estaban inspirados en ISIS, por lo que se puede saber hasta el momento, llegaron a esta playa en Australia, una playa visitada por miles de personas, locales, turistas, aprovecharon el festival de Hanukkah el primer día para empezar a disparar indiscriminadamente hacia un objetivo directo que entienden ellos. Ellos eran pues personas judías. Fue el peor ataque en la historia de Australia, por lo menos en los tiempos recientes. Se sabe del papá, que había llegado a Australia como refugiado de Pakistán. El hijo sí había nacido en Australia, pero ambos se habían radicalizado en el nombre del Islam.
¿Él cree que en Australia se han tomado las medidas suficientes contra el antisemitismo?
Do you believe that in Australia enough measurements have been taken to fight anti-Semitism?
No. In a simple word, no. Mm-hmm. Not only is that obvious from the event itself, but we have a Labor government, which is on the centre-left, which ever since it came into power 3.5 years ago, has issues with the Jewish community, and within those issues, it has been thoroughly incapable of being able to recognize the gravity and the size and volume of the problem and be able to actually do anything productive about it. They have instituted a number of policies, but those policies are ultimately weak, and they have not done enough to protect Jewish Australians.
Pues no, la respuesta es no en una sola palabra. Dice que más allá de lo obvio que es por lo ocurrido en este evento, el gobierno que está en Australia hace 3 años y medio ha tenido, según él dice, problemas con la comunidad judía. Entre esos problemas ha sido la incapacidad de reconocer el nivel del problema de antisemitismo y hacer algo productivo sobre ello. Han instituido políticas débiles que no han sido suficientes para combatir y solucionar este problema.
Se habla de una posible participación de Irán en este hecho. ¿Cuáles son los elementos que pueden llevar a una suposición de este tipo?
It has been informed that apparently Iran could have participated on this event. What type of elements do you believe they could have to say, yes, Iran was a factor in this tragedy?
So the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, has been active in Australia. So there have been three specific attacks in the past 2 years where Australian intelligence authorities believe that the Iranians were behind it. Essentially, the Iranians were funding and coordinating with local Australian criminal elements to carry out a number of terror attacks in Australia over the past 2 years. However, given the fact that we're aware of a lot of Iranian activity, it appears as though at this stage that theory may be not entirely accurate in this specific case. It appears as though that these two perpetrators and terrorists were inspired by Sunni Islamism as opposed to Shia-based Islamism from Iran. And also it appears as though that they've recently spent, the terrorists that is, recently spent a month in the Philippines, which in my neighborhood in Southeast Asia is a training ground for ISIS-inspired, Al-Qaeda-connected Sunni Islamists. So at this stage, it doesn't appear as though that the Iranians are behind this. My contacts in Israel also believe that that assessment is accurate, that it appears as though that this was an ISIS-inspired attack. Potentially, they were trained and received their training in the Philippines recently when both visited there for 4 weeks, for a month, and that they've come back to Australia to carry out their attacks.
A ver, nos habla de grupos terroristas vinculados con un grupo revolucionario islámico. Dice que por varios años han estado en Australia, que ha habido pues evidencia de esto. Ellos han tenido que colaborar con las autoridades, se han dado cuenta que sí, que ha habido un terrorismo patrocinado por Irán en los últimos 2 años. Sin embargo, en este caso en específico, no les parece. Les parece que estos dos terroristas, padre e hijo, más bien estarían vinculados a los sunitas y no a las fuerzas revolucionarias de Irán. Dice que estos 12 personajes estuvieron un mes en las Filipinas y allí se entrenan los islámicos sunitas y no estarían vinculados con Irán. Dice que ellos corroboraron esto con Irán y pues hasta el momento creen que en este caso en específico no habría un vínculo con Irán directamente.
Desde Israel le pregunto cómo vive la comunidad judía en Australia, sobre todo desde el 7 de octubre del 2023, con manifestaciones antisionistas y con retazos antisemitas en universidades, en las calles, en hospitales.
How does the Jewish community live in Australia in the latest time, specifically after the October 7th attack, considering the anti-Semitism movements that have appeared in university and other local places?
The Jewish community in Australia has had a proud history in this country, a very free and open society where Jews have been free to participate in the highest echelons of Australian civil society for hundreds of years. So we aren't going anywhere anytime soon, and we are not going to run away without a fight. So the explosion of anti-Semitism occurred on the day of October 7, 2020. Itself, where Australian, certain segments of Australian society started celebrating the massacre whilst it was still ongoing. The failure of government to take a stand and stamp out that anti-Semitism from the get-go is what has allowed this issue to just grow and metastasize and grow more. But at the end of the day, Jewish Australians are proud Australians. We love this country. We love the country, that what the freedoms that we usually enjoyed. We love being here. We feel very connected with being here. But at the end of the day, we are now all questioning whether or not, in light of what happened in the past 24 hours, is what our future in this country looks like. If things continue on the way that they go, and that our government just talks about the things that they're going to do instead of doing anything, there will be no future for Jews in Australia. And the saddest part of the whole thing is that the greatest loss of life to Jews since the Holocaust, which was the massacre of October 7, 2023, was the catalyst to what could be the end of a very proud and enduring Australian Jewish community. Yeah. So we will continue to fight. We want to stay here. We want to build and rebuild our lives here. But we need the protection of authorities to make sure we have a future.
Mr. Bernier, we are very sorry and thank you very much for this interview.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much and all be safe. Thank you.
Bueno, pues ahí está la voz de la comunidad judía en directo desde Australia. Esto pasó en una playa que se llama Bondi. Esto es en el estado de Nueva Gales del Sur. Una niña de 10 años, un rabino británico y un superviviente del Holocausto están en la lista de las víctimas. El primer ministro albanese anuncia que endurecerá los permisos de armas. ¿Qué más dijo al final, Ana?
Pues Julio, básicamente que van a seguir dando la pelea. Dice que la comunidad judía en Australia ha tenido una historia orgullosa, una vida libre, han tenido acceso a los puntos más altos de la sociedad, se les ha validado, se les ha permitido participar y que no se van a ir de Australia, no van a correr. Sin embargo, dice que desde el 7 de octubre del 2023 hubo una explosión de antisemitismo. Justamente cuando estaba ocurriendo esa masacre en Israel, pues ciertos vínculos, ciertos puntos de la sociedad empezaron a celebrar. Y en ese punto el gobierno no reaccionó para castigar a esas personas que estaban celebrando mientras el ataque ocurría. Y eso, dice él, ha permitido que el tema siga creciendo. Sin embargo, dice que los judíos en Australia aman el país, se sienten conectados, pero en este momento se están preguntando cómo es el futuro para los judíos en Australia. Y que si el gobierno continúa hablando y no actuando, no hay un futuro para los judíos en Australia.